Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, here on Saturday morning and having a good time with it. I just need to get to my place here. Take a deep breath. Good morning and welcome. I do appreciate you coming on this morning and listening. It just does my heart well. I mean, just to know that you're there and we're having a conversation every Saturday morning. I mean, how great is that? But before we get too far gone, let's just give thanks to the Father. Father God, we thank you this morning for another opportunity to get up and come before you and thank you for all of the blessings from last Saturday to this Saturday. So many things happened. But we're still standing, and no matter what it wasn't real. If it wasn't good, it wasn't you. So we're still standing, you're still blessing us, and we're still learning, and we're still walking, we're still on our journey, and we just thank you for sending grace and mercy, you know, to follow behind us. So when we do get a little bit off course, you have the angels to guide us and put us back on course and knowing that there's nothing that we can do that is so bad, so awful, that you would lose just one. You would leave everybody just to come and get me when I stray. And when I say me, any one of us, if we stray, he'll come get you. Just remember that. And Father, I thank you for that, and I ask you to bless mothers and daughters around the world, that their relationships become stronger, bonded, connected mentally and physically, because that's our mission, to bring back and reconnect the minds and the relationships of mothers and daughters, which builds a stronger family, creating a new generation to work according to your will. And I thank you for choosing me. I appreciate it. And I thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, sometimes when I'm up and moving around and I think about it, I said, you know, God could have chosen anyone. He didn't have to choose me. I'm so glad he chose me for this. It's so fitting for me. I mean, it's just perfect, of course, you know, because he knows exactly what he's doing. So I'm just grateful that I have been placed in this place to do what I'm doing. It is absolutely wonderful. I was talking to a young lady yesterday, and she said, you know, I just don't feel like I'm working. You know, I'm working for the Lord, and it just seems like I'm not working. And I told her, I said, you know, that's the way I feel. When I go out and I talk to mothers and daughters and minister to them, it seems like I'm just having a conversation with a friend. You know, we can be sitting there talking. I'm having a glass of water or tea or coffee, whatever, and they're sitting back and we're talking. A lot of times when I go into the homes, you know, we sit at the dining room table. I don't know why, but it just seems like that's where I always end up, at the dining room table. And I feel like I'm there visiting a friend.
And I don't feel like ever that I'm working. Sometimes I get into my car after a session and I go, wow, it's like I've been to visit a relative, you know, someone that I've known for a lifetime. And sometimes it's the first time I've been in their home. But once I get inside and get that hug and that energy start moving around and the spirit start, it's like kindred spirits, of course, you know. I was assigned to go there. I was supposed to be there. And there's a work that I'm to do there. And the Holy Spirit is there to help me do that. So it's always a friendly, loving environment when I enter into the home. Or if I'm meeting someone somewhere, it just seems like I'm just socializing. But yet, you know, on many times, so many of them are that are not saved, you know, they will, I'll lead them into the sinner's prayer and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then that's when I really know I'm here. I'm assigned here. You know, there's a higher calling for this whole mother and daughter concept, and the mission is bigger than I can even imagine. And some of the things that God has shown me, I can't even say it because it just won't make sense to anyone else. And I'm trying to figure it out myself. And even at that, I just decided to leave it alone. Don't even worry about it. Don't figure it out. Just each day get up and say, Lord, what can I do today? How can I work in your kingdom? So on Saturday mornings, this is one of the things that I do. I get up on Saturday mornings. I talk to him. I said, okay, what is it that we're doing today? You tell me. I'm not trying to lead anymore. I'm just going to sit back, relax, and enjoy the journey. And even though, you know, my flesh may want to resist in some areas, you know, I'm having conversations with my flesh now. Be still. Be still. You are not in control. Well, you might as well settle yourself down, all these desires and all these things that you want. You're not in control. And the things that you want, obviously, is not what the things that I need at this moment, because if I needed them at this moment, I would have had them. So you got to talk to your flesh, and you got to let the flesh know you're in control and the Spirit is leading and guiding you. The flesh will act up. I want to thank my listeners this morning. I thank you guys again for coming on. I just get so excited because I'm thinking, out of all the things you're doing, you come, you sit, and you listen to me and my co-host, and you take it all in. And I know you do because, you know, I get the text, the response, the calls, and it says to me that, you know, that one thing, and sometimes people just repeat what, not all the time what I say. Trust me. A lot of it's about what other people are saying, you know, the guests and how they relate it to it. So that's why I say if a little nudge come into your heart, if a thought come and it says, wow, I remember this or that or the other, maybe I should share that. And then don't let the evil one come and steal that from you, that thought. Because he'll say, oh, no, you don't want to say that. You're going to be on radio. You may not talk right. Or you may miss a word. And yeah, nah, I just keep it to myself. Well, if that's happening to you, that means you're cutting somebody out of a blessing. I don't talk right all the time. And I got past that. Because we are not perfect people. If I say something wrong, hey, forgive me. I'm not perfect. I just say what the Holy Spirit is saying through me, and hopefully I'm repeating it correctly. Sometimes I miss the mark, but I can't let that stop me from coming on Saturday morning and doing what the Lord asked me to do. You know, he's not looking for perfect people because he knows there's none here. He's looking for people that's willing. Lord, I'm willing. You want to use me? I'm willing. You know, help me to get it right. And he'll keep using you. He'll keep using you because he already know. He knew I'd be sitting here right now this moment talking to you, saying these exact words. So there's no surprise to God. So just be who you are and let him use you to bless somebody else. Okay? Don't let fear come in. That's the one thing he tells you, not to fear. Okay? So if you're fearing something, You need to go to the Lord and ask the Lord to take that away from you so that you can use your life testimonies to help somebody else. That's the way we grow, when we share our testimonies with each other. So with that being said, you might want to just pick up your phone and, you know, call in. If you're on the computer, you can listen to us via blogtalkradio.com. And if you want to call in or text someone, you can text them at 347-539-5078. Tell them to come in and listen. You know mothers and daughters that are having some struggles with their relationships. Don't cut them out. Be a blessing to them. Tell them to come in and listen. Might be one thing that is said that can change their life and change their relationship and change the next generation. Don't take a lot. Just take that one thing that can just maybe fit in the midst of what they're doing at the moment. Say, wow, okay, now that makes sense. That's why I'm dealing with this, and that's a connector for them. So help bless, help the Lord to bless someone else. We're here for a reason. We're here to go out to get them and bring them to the Lord. That's why we're here. And how do we do that? We do that through our word. We have to communicate and share our hearts and share the word of the Lord. So with that being said, you know, I tell you, get sit back, relax, get your pen and paper and your favorite drink, and join us. Our stimulating topic this week, and that topic is, what's killing your mother and daughter relationship from last week and this week? How to stop the killer. How to stop the killer of your mother and daughter relationship. So we talked about what was the killer, the one thing that would kill last week. I know you may say, wow, that sounds so hard, Dr. Fletcher. All this killing and carrying on. Hey, when I say kill, I'm talking about kill the words. Kill the words, the negative words that you're using. And that's kind of what we want to talk about this week. We talk about what was the killer last week. We're going to talk about how to stop the killer. For the newcomers that are coming on, I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, here at Blog Talk Radio, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. All right, let me tell you what we're doing in November. We're going on a mother and daughter cruise. It's a cruise and land event, and we're asking you to join us. Call your friends and family. Come join us. Let's make this a good event. Whether it's 5, 10, or 15, we're going to have a good time anyway. It's not in my power to bring in masses of people. It's in the power of the Lord, and whoever is there are the ones that's supposed to be there, and I just don't count numbers. We're just going to go ahead and do it. It's a time to relax, it's a time to have some fun, and to treat yourself. You know, we go through a lot of stresses during the year, and we do a lot of things. But when it comes to just actually pampering yourself, we tend to want to put that on the back burner. We don't want to spend that money on relaxation or spend the money to just treat ourselves nice. Well, cruise is a wonderful way. You don't have to cook. You don't have to worry about cabs running over here. What am I going to see tonight? Do I, you know, how much is it going to cost me to go to the show? Man, you got the show. You have all type of entertainment, anything you want to eat. And it's a one-stop shop. And you can just relax and do nothing and enjoy yourself. You can be as active as you want, or you can just lay back and just say, hey, for this week, I'm doing nothing. And the good thing I like about it is that I don't have to use my phone. There's no phone and there's no computers, and you don't have to worry about being on the internet, nobody calling you. You just chill out. It is wonderful. So if you'd like to join us, call Gina. She's at 813-868-0007. That's 813-868-0007. talk to Gina, and she'll set you up. If you need additional information, you can email me at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number, 1@gmail.com. Stop the killer of your mother and daughter relationship. Should be interesting today. I want to thank my co-hosts, Sandra D., Cynthia Oliver, and Janice Paldo. They've been diligent over the years, I tell you. You know, when they can, they're on. It gives me support to know that I have someone that can dialogue with me back and forth. It's no fun if I'm going to give the message and actually have the conversation with myself. So these ladies, they take time out of the schedule. They come on, and they will discuss from their point of view how they feel about what the Lord has placed on my heart. It's sort of like a church, you know, like when you go to church and the minister say what he says or her what she says, and then you walk away. But here you get to discuss what you're feeling. We get to talk about it. And that's sort of like a ministry counseling session. And that kind of brings it back to who I am. I'm a Christian clinical psychologist, and my job is to show you from the Christian perspective as well as from the secular perspective, and then you choose, okay? We're not here to ask you to do any particular thing. You make the decision, and you choose. You get information. That information that you obtain from us, if something's in there that doesn't fit you, I tell people, throw it in the trash can. It's like number 13, boom. Nah, that don't fit my spirit. It's okay, because it may not fit your spirit, but it may fit the spirit of someone else. So everything is said is not just for you. It's for the masses. It's for everybody. And someone will get a little piece of the pie until the whole pie is eaten up, and you'll get your piece. Today, we do not have a guest. Last week, we had an interesting mother and daughter team. It was so funny that mother was just insistent that I get to her daughter, because she wanted her daughter to explain her side of their, not their relationship situation, but her revealing the fact that she had been abused and molested, and she chose her daughters to be the first persons that she told. Therefore, you know, that shows the bond that they had with each other, and she really wanted her daughter to speak, because she got such revelation from her counseling. And that just shows, you know, it doesn't matter if it's the daughter or the mother. It's whoever had the best counseling at that particular time. And I constantly go to my daughter for counseling. I don't worry about her being the daughter. I'm looking at the lady that she is, and she's a godly woman, and she studied the word, and that's all that matters to me. So I can take advice from her, and sometimes, yeah, it's just like a mother giving advice to a daughter. Sometimes it's not all comfortable, you know. She just told me yesterday, okay, Mama, you're not listening, and I just immediately, okay, all right, I'm listening. Go right ahead. And I just came down just a little bit and listened. Got past that. I'm like, okay, we're good. I received that. Exactly what I told her. I said, I received that, and I'll do accordingly. So we can't always think because we're the mothers that our children cannot have a word of advice. You know, God worked with all of us. He don't care the age. There's no such thing that because you're the mother, you have it all right. That's not necessarily the truth. So with all that being said, you know, let's take a little advice from our children and respect them, and they'll take advice from us and respect us. And therefore, we're now in a conversation, and we're having an honest conversation. And like I said last week, we were talking about the one thing that would kill a mother and daughter relationship. And now we're talking about how to stop the killer of your mother and daughter relationship. Last week we talked about the one thing, and I'm just going to hit on a couple of things. It all led down to having an honest conversation, or the lack of having an honest conversation. It means that, you know, that honest conversation is just being sincere, being straightforward, you know, being direct and open. And sometimes I know it's hard because we are not taught, most of us are not taught how to be honest, because we see little things when we're children and we hear things from our parents and our mothers, and most of the kids spend more time with mothers. That's why it's so important, mothers, that you watch what you say and how you say it and what you're doing, because your child is with you the majority of the day, especially when they're little. If it's a mother and you're not working, you're at the house, you're doing many things, you're taking care of the children, and they're listening. They're looking at you. They're watching, and they want to be just like you. So what are you displaying? What type of image are you displaying in front of them? Are you smoking? Are you drinking? Are you cursing? Are you reading the Bible? Are you praising God? Are you gossiping about someone? Are you praising someone? Are you asking God to bless someone? I was talking to a young lady last night, and she was telling me, she said, and it brought tears to my eyes. Her stepmother, I think it was, I want to make sure I get this right, was in the hospital. And I remember she called me and asked me to pray for her. And she said, I'm driving to Alabama, and I'm going to stay. And I'm going to take the baby with me, because I think it would just bring joy to her heart just to see the baby. She hadn't seen her in a while. And I'm thinking, okay. And we prayed, and the baby, they stayed down there for a couple of weeks because she's going to make sure, you know, she stayed. This was someone that was very dear, that is very dear to her heart. And when she got back, she got the phone call just this past week that the lady was getting out of the hospital and was recovering and was doing really well, because they went because they thought she was making her transition. And she wanted to be there if that happened. Well, the lady now is home, doing much better. And her daughter heard her talking to someone saying that she was released from the hospital and that she was going home. And she said, Dr. Bessie, I'm telling you. She said, my daughter's 3 years old. She said, when she heard me say that, she said, my daughter got on her knees, threw her hands up in the air, and said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. She said, she's not going to the fire. Thank you, Jesus. She said, I started crying. And it brought tears to my eyes. And I was like, wow, I could just see that little three-year-old. Now think about it. Like I told her, I said, she is doing what she's seen you do. She know that you praise God, and she's seen you do it that way. She's only 3 years old. And to get on her knees and throw her hands up and just praise, she said she did it for about 30 minutes, just praising God and thanking God that her stepmother was home. And that just brought something to my mind, and I was telling her, I said, wow, that says a lot about how you live your life and what she see that you're doing. Now, I know that had to touch your heart. And I know you saw that picture of a little girl on her knees praising God as if she really understands that whole concept. She's emulating what she's seen her mother do. So how do you stop the killer that will destroy your mother and daughter relationship? You got to start with your words. You got to start with words that's coming out of your heart. You got to watch everything that you're doing in front of your children. You got to be very careful how you display your role as a mother. Now, I'm not saying you have to be perfect. Lord knows I am the farthest from being perfect. None of us are perfect. We just have to be conscious. And I realize, you know, when I'm here running around in Florida and doing what I'm doing, I'm always mindful, trying to make sure I display and display who I am, not a pretend person. People say to me a lot, you know, you're always saying that the Lord told you this, the Lord told you that. I hear people say that to me. Why is it that you say the Lord told you? It's because he did. That's who I'm listening to. And I don't want to take anything from him. So therefore, I give him the glory. Some things that I'm doing right now, I'm not that smart. I know it's God, and I know he's leading and guiding me. And he would do that for anybody. If you're willing, if you just say, Lord, I'm a mother, I don't know how to do this, how to raise this daughter, or even your sons, I don't know how to do this, and I cannot do it without you. I need you to lead and guide me down this path. And you know, when you were little and coming up, your mother would say, I know you know right from wrong. You know right from wrong. My mother used to say that to me a lot. And I'm thinking, how does she know I know? And you knew. Even when you were little, something would come up in your spirit. You knew it was wrong. And you would go, if you did something wrong at school, you knew if someone told your parents you were going to get a spanking. And I'll just talk about me. I mean, that thing would bother me. My spirit wasn't right. I was worried, and my stomach was upset because I knew I had done something wrong. My conscience was eating away at me. And I knew I would get a spanking if my mother knew. So, yes, you do know. And like right now, you know when you do something wrong with your children. You know that. But are you willing to have an honest conversation? Are you willing to say to your daughter, who sometimes we think are the lesser because of the age, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I made a mistake. I shouldn't have said that. But a lot of times, mothers will walk away and say, well, I'm the mother. That's the attitude. And she's the daughter. She just have to get it. She have to understand. And you can go through life. And a lot of my counseling sessions, that's the way I see a lot of mothers treat their daughters when they're between 12 and 16, you know. But then when they become 17 and 18 and they feel like, hey, I only have a short period of time here. I am out of here in another year. You know, they start changing the way that they talk to you. They start changing the way that they act towards you. They start changing the timing that they want to spend with you. And then you wonder, because now in your mind, as a mother, you're thinking, oh, wow, she's going to be leaving. Let me tell you, if you don't get it together before she leaves that home, it may take 10, 15, 20, even 30 years for you to get back to the one thing you should have gotten to before she walked out of that door, to go to college or to go get married or go live on her own, is that honest conversation. It's going to take that honest conversation, because once she leaves that house, it's just going to be a Band-Aid conversation. Hey, honey, how you doing? I'm fine. You just fine. How was your day? It was good. Okay. All right. I'll talk to you later. All right. Bye-bye. That's Band-Aid. It has no substance, no meaning. It's a ritual. You're just doing to be doing it. So you can tell your friends, oh, yeah, I talk to my daughter every day. Oh, yeah, I do this. Oh, yeah, we talk at least once a week. What are you talking about? That's the key. What are you talking about? Are you just talking to hear yourself? Or do you really generally care about her life? How's your day? What's going on in your life? And that relationship, she will share with you that relationship. And you know, I'm enjoying this journey with my daughter. Just this week, you know, we do it all the time. And I'm not trying to say we are the perfect mother and daughter team, and that's why God chose me. That is not a part of this. We work on it. That's why God chose us, because we are working on this relationship. And she comes, she says, Mama, I need you to pray with me about something. At first, she didn't say it. We were just talking and talking. But I felt it in my spirit. And I was just waiting for her to get to it, because I felt it. And she says, I want you to pray with me on something. It wasn't anything bad. But she had to make a decision. And I said, okay. And after we got through talking about it, and we walked through, you know, and the Lord told me some things to tell her, and we talked about it, and then we realized, okay, now why would you make this decision this way as opposed to this way? And we look at it, and we broke it down, and we chopped it up, and we came up with all the scenarios, and finally she says, okay, you're right, I got it. I didn't make the decision for her. All I did was to show her the various ways of why you're looking at it this way. What's the purpose of it? And kind of playing devil's advocate with her. And then she made her own decision. It was the decision that in my mind I was thinking that she should have made, but I wasn't going to tell her that because that was not my place. My place is to help her to do the discoveries. And once she does the discovery of the situation, then it's her choice to make, because then she'll have to live with that choice. And that's the way we do our relationship. We just help each other discover our thoughts, analyze our thoughts, look at them, put them in little sections, verify it, and then it's up to you to make the decision. So with that being said, you know, I walked away feeling good, and I said, well, you pray on the last thing I told her. You know, we talked about it, we looked at it, but I still say, pray on it again. Go to the Lord and get a final answer and wait. Wait for the final answer before you say what you need to say. And the next day she called me, okay, it's taken care of. I mean, that's the way you got to do it. You got to be able to talk. It's about communication. That's all it is. It's a simple thing. It's not that hard. But sometimes, if you have some, not sometimes, every time, if you find yourself with unforgiveness in your heart, you can't have the honest conversation, because everything you do is built around that one thing that's killing your relationship, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is dangerous. It's like poison that's just lying in your blood, just waiting to kill and destroy. See, unforgiveness is an evil spirit. There's nothing good about unforgiveness. Forgiveness is a good spirit. And that's why God says, I come before you and I offer you life and I offer you death. One in one hand, one in the other. And he simply says, you choose. See, you have the power to choose. You have the power to choose the words that will change your thoughts. You have the power to have words that can forgive a person. You know, sometimes God won't allow things to happen until you get that forgiveness peace. And even though you may think the other person is doing you wrong, think about it. Maybe you're being taught a lesson. We don't know why God does what he does, allow it to happen. But if you got unforgiveness in your heart, you can't get to the next step or the next level, because unforgiveness will hold you up. And I know sometimes, I've heard this so many times and I never could understand it. In fact, I used to say it, too, because it was such a myth and was said so freely that I thought it was the truth. When I was coming up, yeah, I forgive her, but I'm not going to forget. Now, what does that mean? I forgive her, but I'm not going to forget. That means you don't forgive. You know, if Jesus said, I forgive you all, but I'm not going to forget now. I'm not going to forget how you did not do what I asked you to do. So when you get to heaven, I'm going to remember everything you've done, Bessie. I've got it written down, and you're going to have to answer for it when you get to heaven. No, I don't think so, because that's not loving. You said to love each other. And if you love your daughter, and you really, truly love your daughter, there's nothing that she can do, nothing that she can do that you're not talking to her, that you're not spending time with her. And if you really love your mother, daughters, there's nothing that she could have done that keep you from communicating with her. There's no tighter bond than between a mother and a child. That 9 months gave the mother an opportunity to bond even closer. The father can see that child when that child comes into the world, but that mother is breathing, eating, feeling, experiencing that child from conception. And that's why I'm very hard on mothers, because we have the responsibility. We are the nurturers. I didn't say that. God said it. God chose you to be the nurturer. He gave you that role. There's so many women out here who want to be a mother, and they're not physically from their bodies. And so many of you are mothers, and you're not looking at the role. My mother said to me, I cannot get up and start my day without calling you and making sure that you are breathing and that you're up and moving around. Now, I know that may not mean a lot to a lot of people, but I was raised that way. So every morning my daughter's up going to work. She calls me, and we talk until she pulls up into the parking lot. Every morning, and she gets out. She says, Mom, I'm at the job. I'll talk to you later. Okay, I love you. And that's a 30-minute talk every morning. I enjoy that. That starts my day. I know she's up and running. I know she's doing good, and I know she's looking good. She's cute as she can be. She's a sweetheart. And then I get up, and I'm feeling good because we've just fueled each other with a little love. Serum. So in order to stop the killer, all I'm asking, you know, just take this week and sit down and look at your mother and daughter relationship. Just look at it. Put down 10 things that you like about it, 10 things that you don't like about it, and then put that one thing that every time you think about her, it puts a smile on your face and it places joy in your heart. There's 10 things you like about your mother and daughter relationship, 10 things you don't like about your mother and daughter relationship, that's 20, and then that one thing that every time you think about your daughter, you smile, you laugh, it is so funny. It could have been when she was 2 years old, but it brings joy to your spirit. Now, each of the 10 things that you don't like, I want you to look at each one and then analyze it. Why is it that I do not like this about our relationship? And then go back and say, what can I do to change that? Now, it's not easy. I know it's not easy. Because what you're doing now is that you're going to pull out of your spirit maybe some thoughts that you don't even want to think about. You don't want to bring it up. Because you know when you bring it up, it's just going to bring up anger and some hate and some old feelings, but that's what you got to do. You got to throw it up. You got to pull it out of your spirit. Face it. Because if you don't, the enemy will use that one thing to keep you separated from your daughter or your mother. And after doing a couple of those, and you feel like you don't have to do them all in one day. If you can't do but one, do one each day. And then go back and pull off one of the things that you like about your relationship. And then seal it with that one thing that brings joy to your heart. So when you walk away from your own self-therapy, you'll walk away in a spirit of joy, love. What you're doing is taking away the negative thoughts from your mind and replacing them with the good thoughts. And you keep doing that and you replace them. Each one, you take them away and you replace them. And then all of a sudden, you have a renewed mind. And that's what the Father said. You have to renew your mind. And how do you do that? You do that by your words, because your words create your thoughts, and your thoughts create your vision, and your visions will manifest into your realities. So if you don't like where you are, you simply change what you say. Thank you for listening. Let's go to the line and see who's there. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hold tight with that thought, and I'll be right back. Music. I tell you, it just makes me, it ups my spirit. All right. Thank you for listening. Let's see. We have here Cynthia. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine. We're talking about the killer
awesome.
This morning. How we stop the killer.
Oh, man. What you talking about? It goes right back to what you've been saying for weeks and mother sending those mixed messages and those secrets. We want our daughters to grow up to be a certain way. But then again, why are they growing up the way they're growing up? What's coming out your mouth? Are you there to teach them?
Mm-hmm.
Children are little sponges. They absorb everything, and when you squeeze it out, it all comes out, babe. when we're not raising our daughters in the way that God will have us to raise them, they will always. Now, well, I don't want to say always. Let me take that back. I take that back. Not always, but on most occasions, your daughter will be just what you raising. You raise hell, she gonna raise hell. You run around like a chicken, she gonna run around like a chicken. Because you're so busy sending mixed messages, you want her to be a certain way, but then you ain't the way you want her to be. One of the questions I often ask the ladies that I work with, what is it that you want for your child? The best. Well, how can you give her the best when you ain't the best?
Mm-hmm.
How can
mm-hmm.
you want her to, how can you want her not to do substances when you're doing substances? Come on, now talk to me. What sense
mm-hmm.
does that make? And then
mm-hmm.
when they're not disciplined, you're not disciplined and you want them to be disciplined. How does that work?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then one of the biggest things, a big conversation that I constantly have with those ladies is that, you know what, when you're ready, like you said about the Father is always ready to just embrace you for change, because we are to constantly be moving up in our thinking. And we as mothers,
mm-hmm.
when we neglect to do that, oftentimes the daughter has to pick up the baton, if you will, because somebody got to change if that relationship is ever going to be anything close to what God designed it to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's very, very selfish on mommy's behalf when she don't do what she needs to do. But you know what? Sometimes God will even use the daughter to be that healing piece in the relationship. But
mm-hmm.
somebody got to be seeking the change in order that change come in the relationship.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and when you say not always, because we got some mothers out there that are praying and you know, daughters are out of order, but they are standing on the word. And I'm seeing some changes in relationships that we prayed on, and you would think those relationships was never going to come back together. But you know in your heart and soul, if you're a praying mother and you come together and you pray and you talk to God and you lay that child on the altar, you just keep doing what you do, mother, and that child will come back in order. It's just, that's what God said, it will not stray and stay. She will not stray and stay. She will come
and all
back.
Things have
you
a,
just
I'm
think.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
And all things have a way of correcting themselves when we just walk and do what according to God's word. All wrongs have a way of correcting themselves. If you are praying,
right.
you are doing, it will come together. But you got to
right.
be consistent. You got to be consistent in whatever it is you're doing. If whatever it is that you're doing, that's what you're feeding, and that's what's going to happen. You know,
right.
I tell people, look here, if you're gonna be a crackhead, be the best crackhead you can be. But if you whatever it is, but you got to choose one. You can't be doing what you need to do and doing what you don't need to be doing. Pick one, because it really does send mixed messages to our children, our daughters, when we are saying one thing and we're doing something else.
Yeah. Well, we're going to pray that they're not crackheads, but, you know, we do realize there are crackheads out there, and they are raising daughters, so we have to look at the reality of it.
You know what? But we got to change. It's time.
Yeah.
You know, it's time to
yeah.
stop playing. If we want our
yeah.
daughters to be a certain way, we have to be that way that we want our daughters to be. Don't send mixed messages, because it makes us a hypocrite. It makes us
right.
hypocrites when we're doing one thing and saying something else. Walk the walk and talk the talk.
Yeah. That is so true. Yeah, and it's not easy, but it's nothing easy. You got to do it. You just got to make up your mind that you're going to do it. And any given day, we can slip in our Christianity. We can slip in the way that we do things. You just got to be, got to renew your mind in order to stick and stay and change your heart. Thank you, Steffi. I truly appreciate it. You have a good
You're
one.
Welcome, Dr. Fletcher.
All right, that's what I'm saying to you. You know, I know we have a smorgasbord of mothering styles and attitudes, and, you know, don't take this as a message for you if this is not who you are. The thing that I want you to know is that there's so many people out here, and they're facing this, and you got mothers that are in prison that I'm dealing with that, you know, losing their daughters because of one mistake that they made, they want to make it right. So God will forgive you. Your daughter will forgive you. If you only ask, just ask for forgiveness and mean it and do the opposite of what you've been doing. Because I've had daughters say to me, you know what? I don't believe her. She said it so many times. And each time she'd go back and she'd do the same thing again. I said, yeah, but you know what? You never know when it's the time, when it is the moment that change has taken place in the heart and in the mind. So each time you got to give the person a chance to see if they really mean it and help them, and help them. Because being on substance abuse and being in domestic violence situations, you know, we can't just talk lightly about that. That's a struggle for a mother to come out of. Being, you know, unemployed and being short patient and wondering how you're going to feed your children. You know, no, you're not going to be the most pleasant person to be around, but you got to back away and you got to, you know, talk to your children. You know, mommy love you. You know, even though I might be a little stressed, this is what's happening. Be honest with them. They will understand and they will love you and they will grow with you and they will know. It's not because she doesn't love me. It's just that she's trying to figure something out. That's the only thing I tell you. I don't care how small they are. Just be honest with them and just tell them what you're going through to the best you can for their level. And let them know it's not because I don't love you that I may snap a little bit. It's just that I got a lot on my mind, and mommy's going to try not to do that. And if I do, just remind me. Just remind me. Mommy, I don't like the way you're acting now. You told me to remind you. And that would be like a little bell that goes off just to help you kind of say, oh, you know what, baby? You're right. And mommy's going to take care of that. And then you tighten up and you change. That's all we can do. We keep going. We do that with God. When we mess up, we keep going back to God and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up again. Please forgive me. My thing is, I go back and say, Lord, can we just start all over again? And he'll tell me, yeah, I'm here. He's willing. So just do the same thing that you would want your father to do to you. Do that with your children. Just be willing to start all over again. And the one way that you can do that is simply by stop the blaming. Stop blaming. Stop talking about what happened yesterday. Every time you get an opportunity, bringing it back up, then you have not forgiven the person and you have not really started all over again. All right. Good morning. This is Janice.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good. We're talking about how to stop the killer in a mother and daughter relationship. And I know you have something to talk to us about.
Well, Cynthia pretty much said a lot what I was going to say, but one thing we as mothers or as parents in general, we have to ask God to give us godly character and integrity and to do things right because it's right, if that makes sense. You know, we can't, you can't do things and without integrity. We've got to walk in integrity. We can't, like she said, we can't live one way in the public's eye. For example, on your job or go to church and display one thing and then come home before our children and display something else. You have to be consistent in what you do and what you say. And if you can't do it, you ask God to give you the strength to do it. You ask the Holy Spirit to guide you because godly character and integrity is everything. It's a seed that if your children, you plant in your children, it's going to stay with them a lifetime. They may stray away from it, but that seed is planted in them, and at one time, it's going to come forth. They may stray away from what you taught them, but it's going to come for as long as the seed, because a good seed is going to, it's going to stay there. A godly seed is going to stay there no matter what they do. You hear a lot of testimonies to how kids raised in godly homes, children that their parents were pastors, and they got away from the word, they got into drugs and whatever, but at that one time of their life when they were at their lowest, they thought back, they testimony, all of them, they testify, I remember the prayer, hearing my mom pray. I remember the prayers my father sent up. I remember the word of God coming forth and how the Holy Spirit, it's like some of them have said, Jesus just seemed like to appear before me. So you have to plant integrity, and the Bible speaks about integrity. Your integrity will go before you as the person. Your integrity will follow, will go before you, because people will judge you on your integrity. People will know you. If you have godly integrity, believe me, that goes before you even get there. So we have to walk in godly character. If you go into the bank, and I'm not just saying this to pat myself on the back. I have went twice, and the bank teller gave me $20 too much. And she argued with me, and I did not. I said, yes, you. Well, I take that back. One time it was 20, and one time it was 50, and she argued me back. And you know, I was like, I went and sat in my car. I said, well, Lord, I tried to tell her, and I sat there. I got so vexed, I went back to her, and I said, look, please. I said, you have given me too much. So So we have to look at, and that goes a long way because God sees what you've done, and he'll reward you openly. So we have to teach our children to do what's right because it's right, because God is looking at them, and they will be rewarded for it. So just pray and ask God to give you that strength to walk in godly character and godly integrity.
Mm-hmm. All right. You know, it's so amazing that, you know, when you're trying to do the right thing and the young lady arguing with you and you're trying to hold on to your integrity, and then you go to your car and then, oh, well, she didn't believe you, so you might as well keep it because you tried to give it to her, but you didn't do that. You went right back again and
right.
said, ma'am, you gave me too much. Because it would have been an easy thing to say, you know what, I tried to give it to her, she wouldn't take it, so I'm going on. But you knew that wasn't the right thing to do. And how many times have we done that? Because I've done it before. I go back and try to give somebody something. And I said, well, you know what? I tried to give them to them and they wouldn't. But I'm now at the place in my life where I'm like, okay, I don't want to keep it because then it's going to be bad vibes with me, you know, adding in there. So, you know, we just do the best that we can. We pray and ask God to bless us and to help us get, you know, to where he wants us to be. So
right.
With all that being said this morning, always saying, mothers and daughters out there, thank you, Janice. I appreciate you. God bless you, and you have a great day.
You too.
Yeah. To mothers and daughters out there, you know, the lesson today was how to stop the killer. You know, the killer. Let's change the words. The killer. You know, not saying what's in our hearts, not being honest with our mothers and daughters, not, you know, in order for your grandchildren to build a relationship with you, you know, you got to have a relationship with your daughter. You got to have a relationship with that daughter or that son, because if they don't have a relationship with you and then they have children and then you wonder why they won't let the children come over or why they're acting all different. You know, when you're the grandparent, now you want to love up on your grandkids, and you got some unfinished business, and they're like, no, because I've had a young lady tell me, no, I'm not letting my mother keep my children. I'm not going to let her fill their minds with the stuff that she filled in my head. No, I'm not doing that. And the only time she's going to see them is when I'm there and I'm supervising. I'm not going to leave my children with her. Now the mother wants to change, and it's almost too late. You see what I'm saying? So let's stop it right now. I gave some advice. Use that. If you hold on, I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Well, that's my cue. Gotta go. It's fun. I tell you, the time go by so fast, it's like it's a 10-minute conversation. Thank you, guys. Have a blessed week. Keep your eyes on the killer. Kill the killer with your words, the word that God has placed in your heart. Have an honest conversation. Bye-bye.